Our last speaker is Ilona Chatterley. Sorry if I don't pronounce your name.
Hi, good morning.
She's going to talk about soil carbon storage in shaded perennial agroforestry system in relation to overstorage tree cover.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. And I think Ala's talk kind of transcends very smoothly into what I have looked into. My co-authors here are my advisors, and the work that was facilitated in India was actually helped out by Dr. Shyam Vishwanathan. So firstly, we would look at soil carbon storage and how are agroforestry systems improving these storage. Globally, there's a consensus agreement on the need to make a comprehensive shift from single species to multi-species systems in agriculture. Now, as you see in this picture, you have crops which contribute to soil carbon crops, and you have trees which contributes to soil carbon again. Now, when you integrate trees with crops, what you get is enhanced soil carbon within these systems, and you also get enhanced biomass and reduced emissions. Now, this enhanced soil carbon storage, both above and below ground, could help especially smallholder farming systems. So the system that I worked on are shaded perennial agroforestry systems. In these systems, we incorporate shade-tolerant perennials like coffee, cacao, under multiple layers of trees which provide the shade. Now, these systems provide habitat for multiple plant taxa, preserves tree diversity, and also have higher potential to sequester carbon. The hypothesis for our experiment was shaded perennial agroforestry systems contain more carbon in deeper soil layers compared to the treeless monoculture systems under similar ecological systems and are therefore likely to enhance the carbon sequestration. The second hypothesis was shaded perennial systems and other tree-based systems like home gardens, compared to treeless system, they contribute more recalcitrant carbon. That is the carbon that's stored in the smallest fraction size, that's a less than 53 micrometer fraction, indicating their more efficient sea sequestration potential. Now, why are we looking into soil carbon stored in the smaller fraction? As you see, the smaller fraction, that's a less than 53 micrometer or the 10 micrometer that's on the extreme right-hand side of this slide. The clay content increases, and these particle sizes, they have organomineral complexes. So the carbon which is stored within this fraction is stable, and they have structural stability. So even if the chances of it being disrupted is less, so the carbon stored will be sequestered. The chances of carbon losses are less from these fractions. So I'm going to present one of the objectives of my dissertation is to estimate the soil organic carbon stored in different soil fraction sizes. That's the macroaggregates, the microaggregates, the silt and clay fractions up to 1 meter depth in conventionally managed shaded perennial agroforestry systems in Karnataka, India. Here's my study location. We worked in India. It's a southern state called Karnataka in the district Chikmagalur. And some of the soil characteristics, the total area is 5.42 hectare per plot per replicate. The previous land uses, these were mostly forests before the industrialization took place, and now it's one of the most important coffee belts in India. It gets fairly high precipitation of 2400 mm per year and kind of high temperature all around the year at 26 degrees Celsius. The soil types are mostly ultrasols and oxisols, and they have very high clay content. Coming to plot selection, as you see the center, the bottom one where it says plot selection. So we came up with 1 by 1 meter pits. We dug out pits, which is a little deeper than 1 meter. And the five treatments that we selected were coffee plantations with Grevillea robusta, which we call silver oaks commonly. Then coffee plantation with a mix of native and non-native shade trees. Tea plantations with Grevillea robusta. An adjacent farmer's home garden, which did not have enough shade trees. And a forest, which served as a control. Coming to materials and methods for soil profiling. This shows the 1 meter depth profile. And we had four depth classes. The first one indicates 0 to 10 centimeter. The second one is 10 to 30 centimeter. The third one represents 30 to 60 centimeter. And the final depth class was 60 to 100 centimeter. So we had four depth classes, five land use types, four replicates per site, 80 samples, which we fractionated into three size classes. And the experimental design we followed was randomized complete block design. All statistical analysis were done using R, and Tukey's LSD was done for mean separation. And we took bulk density for every depth class. Like Ala had mentioned in her study, that bulk density changes with respect to depth, and it is important that you incorporate and measure bulk density for each depth class in the final equation where we find out the carbon storage. And we sieved the samples first using a 2mm sieve. And the 2mm sieved whole sample was fractionated using wet sieving, using a 250 micrometer and a 53 micrometer. So finally, we get three fraction sizes, the macro, the micro, the silt and clay, which we analyze for using an element analyzer. And this is the equation we use to calculate the soil organic carbon stock. The C concentration is what we get from the element analyzer. The bulk density is what we measure in from the field. The depth is the increment in depth that we induced for each class. And weight fraction refers to the proportion of soil sample that went into macro, micro, and silt and clay after wet sieving. Coming to the results, this gives an outline of soil total organic carbon stocks, and quite expectedly, we had the highest amount of soil organic carbon stocks within the forest, closely followed by coffee under Grevillea, tea under Grevillea, followed by coffee under mixed shade, and the least amount of soil carbon was found in home garden systems which did not have an overstory cover. Now, looking into the depth-wise variations of soil organic carbon stocks, first we would look in whole soils. Within whole soils, we found out that the highest amount of soil carbon in the top layers of soil went into the forest. But that was quite expected because the amount of litter fall and the amount of biomass that comes in forest. However, when we went to 10 to 30 centimeters, there was no statistical significant difference found in the amount of carbon stored between any of these land use sites, which includes forest. And that same pattern was followed for 30 to 60 centimeters. However, when we went to 60 to 100 centimeters, forest again had higher amount of carbon attributed to them. And this is for whole soil before we fractionated them. Now, when we moved on to the macro aggregates, we found the highest proportion of soil samples got fractionated as macro aggregates, which means if you take 100 grams of soil sample and you fractionate it, the proportion of soil that goes into the macro aggregates was higher compared to the micro and the silt and clay fraction. Over here, we found with respect to depth, soil carbon decreased as we went deeper, but the highest amount was attributed to the forest, closely followed by coffee with Grevillea systems. Now, when we looked into the micro and the silt and clay fraction, we found some interesting results here. The amount of carbon the stocks found under coffee with Grevillea was significantly higher for both micro and the silt and clay fraction in 0 to 10 centimeter depth classes. when we went to 10 to 30 centimeter depth classes, we did not find any statistical significance among the carbon stored in different land use sites. However, if you look at the graph, you would find that quantitatively we had higher carbon reported within the Coffee with Crevilli agroforestry site. As when we move into the silt and clay, that's the smallest carbon fraction, we found out that the amount of SOC stored in Coffee with Crevilli was higher compared to forest, and also there was statistical significant difference. But when we went to 60 to 100 centimeter, in both cases we found forests tend to store higher amount of carbon. So in conclusion, we could say that ecological processes by which trees contribute to higher amount of C in recalcitrant form is believed to be mediated by litter root activity of specific trees, especially decomposition of soft earth roots. And taken in conjunction with the results of similar studies reported from other ecological regions and different agroforestry systems, the supposed role of trees in increasing carbon storage in deeper soil depth in final particle seems credible. And the take-home message, this is a meta-analysis that we carried out in our lab recently where we looked into all different types of agroforestry systems, but I would focus on shaded perennials because that's what I worked in. When we analyzed results from forests, of land use changes from forest to shaded perennial, there was decrease in SOC only by 0.12, a negative of 0.12, that's soil organic carbon in all these studies, decreased very little when it was converted to shaded perennials. However, when agricultural or monoculture systems were converted to shaded perennial systems, there was an increase in SOC by 16.57%. So based on this, we could say the role of tree-based systems, especially shaded perennial agroforests, in greenhouse gas mitigation through soil carbon storage requires more attention for policymakers and for further research. With this, thank you.
Any questions to Luna?
Hi, Mark.
I'm curious about the Crevillea.
Yeah.
Is that selected for particular attributes, or is it just something that happens to be growing there?
No. So the coffee plantation that we worked on, they grow coffee with Crevillea mainly because of its timber value, and it's a very fast-growing species, and you do not have much maintenance required. So that's why they select Crevillea for that purpose. So timber isn't of great value, but it serves their purpose.
Okay.